You are listening to the teaching ministry of Bay Ridge Christian Church. The following teaching was given by one of the missionaries that our church supports. Jesus has called the church to go into all the world and proclaim the good news, and our support for missions is an important part of fulfilling the Great Commission. We hope you enjoy this teaching and are encouraged to participate in the great task of taking the gospel to all people.
It would have taken me 15 minutes. We have a vision to see the good news of Jesus preached to entire earth, to all the nations of the earth. And our vision is actually Matthew 24:14 that says that when the gospel of the kingdom has been proclaimed throughout the entire world, geographic world, as a witness to all nations, ethnos, people groups, then the end will come. And so that's the vision of advancing Native missions. And then the way we accomplish that is what is different. And that is through encouraging, equipping, and advocating for Native missionaries who are fruitful, strategic. They're, like the video said, they know the language, the culture. Many times they know many languages. They love the Lord. They're going to preach the gospel. And so what we do is we just come along beside them and we help them to preach the gospel. So we're partnering with about 242 ministries in over 100 countries of the world. And like Pastor Brett said, again, there are four in particular that y'all are supporting, which are strategic. They're awesome. Again, maybe I'll just, just read the names of the ministries so you can have an idea. First of all is Evangelical Church of Croatia with Pastor Damir. Second is Bombay Teen Challenge in Mumbai, India with Pastor Devaraj. Third is Himalayan Inland Mission in North India, Pastor Singh. And then finally, the fourth one y'all support is Ocean of Grace Ministry in Indonesia with Pastor James. And so please, these are out front. I mentioned to Melissa, thank you, Melissa, for coordinating everything for us. You know, I told her I disappeared for a couple of weeks there. She didn't know where I was. I was in Vietnam for about 2 weeks in April. We had a couple pastors' conferences there. We actually were able to distribute Bibles on the Vietnamese-China border and to the Hmong people. And it was the first Bibles that they had ever read in their own language. Isn't that wonderful? And even for me, who I've been doing this for 30 years, but that was a highlight. You know, just to be in the middle, it took literally 2 hours by car to travel the last 7 kilometers. That's kind of how rough the roads were. But we distributed the Bibles, and God blessed our time there. But that's the kind of work that you're involved with when you're involved with advancing Native missions. And so thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We just thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your generosity. We're so grateful. And I do just want to make one public service announcement. And Christian, I told him to remind me if I forgot to make it. But basically, we do have a table out here that has a lot of A&M literature on it. It also has my book called Invincible Joy. And, you know, I discovered that Invincible Joy is a person, and his name is Jesus. And so when my grandma Lily, my mom Carol introduced me to Jesus when I was 8, you know, they introduced me to Invincible Joy. So all that is out front. Again, if you want to learn more about A&M, what we do, please, you know, stop by and look at our materials, okay? So, two, like Pastor said, I'm so glad to be here with my lovely wife, Andrea, and my son, Kristen. You know, when you have 5 children, you have to be careful, you know, about talking about favorites, right? So I would have to say, though, he is my favorite 4th child and 2nd son in the world. He is actually the hardest working, most industrious, loves the Lord. He's our theologian in our family. He's read everything. If I want to know something, I call Christian. You know, say, Christian, what about, you know, what happened here at the, you know, Council of Nicene in, you know, 312 or whatever? And he'll give me the synopsis right there on the phone. So yeah, we're so proud of him. He's a wonderful young man. So what I want to do now is so when Pastor Brett said, hey, could you come and talk to us about missions? I lit up. I was like, yes, I would love to come and talk to your congregation about missions. And, you know, because, again, missions is the heart of God. You know, you look at the Old Testament, you know, you look at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and, you know, and Moses and Joshua and Israel. And then in the New Testament with Jesus and Paul, the people of God were always going, and they were blessed to be a blessing, right? And they were out there taking the message of God to whoever he sent them to. And that hasn't changed at all. It's still happening today. And so my message is in the form of a question. Why missions? Why mission? Why are we here? Why have I been a part and Andre been a part of this for 30 years? Why? Christian is a wonderful prayer warrior, a generous donor. Why? Why do we do that? Well, I believe there are three compelling reasons, at least, and I'm gonna share those this morning with you. So first of all, you know, when David faced Goliath, he said, is there not a cause? You know, he was getting a little bit of friction with his brothers. You know, they were in the army. He was just there to deliver some food. And he was talking to people about this Goliath, this Philistine that came out, was defying the armies of God and God himself. And he said, when they were bothering him, he said, hey, isn't there a cause here? You know, this Philistine giant has stood up to the armies of Israel, and he devoted himself to that cause. He went out and he defeated that giant and led Israel then, of course, as you know, for king for many decades. So that would be my first compelling reason is, brothers and sisters, there is a cause. There's a cause to fight for. And really the first cause to fight for in terms of why missions, why do we want to tell people the good news of Jesus? Why do we want to see Jesus go out, see the gospel go out to every single nation? Because humanity has fallen. Humanity is lost. Humanity is undone. You know, it tells us here in Isaiah 53 and 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, being Jesus, the iniquities of us all. Right? And we understand that, right? I mean, I understand that. I remember when I heard the gospel as an 8-year-old, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed the Lord. And that's the whole world, brothers and sisters. That's the whole world. And then in Romans, of course, 3, 11, and 12, and many of you probably know this by heart, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Now, I know this is bad news, right? This is bad news, but doesn't it resonate? Don't you recognize, hey, yeah, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong things, said wrong things, broken the commandments of God. And I deserve hell. I deserve eternal punishment. But you know what? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And God loved us so much, he sent his son, Christ Jesus, to die on a cross so that we could repent of our sins, turn from our sins, pour our sins on him, the wrath of God on him, so that he could give us his righteousness. And so we're going to watch a video right now. Again, it's about 5 minutes. And this is what life is like in a lot of the world, and most of the world. And you're going to see, again, the depravity of human beings. And let me say again, it doesn't end here, though, okay? It doesn't end with the bad news. We're going to get to some good news. But I just want you to see, like, this is what we see in missions, at Advancing Native Missions. And I'm sure you do, too, okay?
The job is not done in the world that Christ gave us to do, and the mandate is still binding on us today. That's why we speak of unreached people groups. But the missions is the back-breaking, culture-penetrating, darkness-shattering initial work to penetrate, plant the church, see it flourish, get its own elders, train its own people, evangelize its own networks. That's the task of missions. It's not over. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And the alternative is hell. And millions and millions and millions of people are on their way there. And we have the only means of escape in our heads and in our hearts. Jesus Christ.
There are many prodigal sons on our city streets. They run searching for shelter. There are homes broken down. People's hopes have fallen to the ground from failures.
There's a lost and dying world out there. These are the conditions in a lot of the world. And sometimes in America, we kind of live in a little bit of a cocoon and don't realize everything that's happening. Let me just go over again some of those stats, just to emphasize them. You saw them. But out of 8 billion people in the world, it's about 8.3 billion now, there are about 3 billion people, at least 2.5 to 3 billion people, that have never heard the good news of Jesus. Can you imagine? They've never heard his name. They've never celebrated Christmas, much less Easter. Almost 3 billion people. And out of 17,000 people groups, this video is a little bit dated. The facts are really good. But like now there are actually 17,000 people groups. And out of 17,000 people groups, there are still about 7,000 people groups that have never heard about Jesus. And again, a people group basically just means, like it described in the first video, it's a people, they have the same language, the same culture, the same customs, and they live together, the same tradition and history. So they're about 17. So if you take the 8 billion people, divide them up into people groups, that's, again, that's about 17,000 people groups. 10,000 have heard the good news of Jesus. But 7,000, about 7,000, still have not heard a clear presentation of the good news of Jesus. And you saw up here again, 86% of Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists who live in those communities, they don't know a Christian. They've never read a Bible. They've never seen a Bible. They've never been in a church, probably never seen a church. Again, that 2.5 to 3 billion people. There are 140 million orphans, 150 million street children. And this is the one that makes me tear up almost every time that I see it. In the next hour, while we're sitting here, 72 women and children will be sold into slavery. 237 women, or people actually, will die of AIDS. 869 will die of chronic hunger. 1,250 will die from a preventable disease. In the next 24 hours, 155 people will die and go to hell. And yet 98% of missions work happens among the already reached. So when you are supporting Advancing Native Missions, you're supporting that 2% that are reaching the unreached. So again, those are going to places where the gospel of Jesus has never been given, never been proclaimed. And missions offerings that come out of the church in the U.S., one penny out of every $100 goes to reach the unreached. Again, you see the huge need, right? The huge need, but there's an disproportionate kind of resources to need arrangement. And so again, but that's why we love doing what we do, because we know that God has called us to be that 1%, you know, to represent that one penny, you know, to go to those places. So most of our work, probably 75% is in South Asia, kind of India and surrounding countries, then Southeast Asia. And that's, again, that's probably at least 80% of unreached nations are there. So that's why we love, again, we're all over the world, but those places in particular. So brothers and sisters, and I want to give you just one example, though. There's good news. There's one example that I'd like to give you of a pastor who is reaching the unreached. His name's Pastor Wong. And when I traveled to Mongolia in 2015 with the team, and we went to meet Pastor Wong, we'd heard about him. Let me just give you a real quick synopsis of Mongolia. In 1990, there were zero churches in Mongolia. There were only a handful of believers in Mongolia. 70 years of communism had wiped out all of Christianity. So, but in 1990, when perestroika happened in the Eastern Europe, it also happened in Mongolia. So it opened up, the doors opened up, democracy came in, the Bible was printed in Mongolian, missionaries flooded in, and this brother Wong was from South Korea, came in and started preaching the gospel. And praise God that, you know, from zero, that today there are at least 600 to 800 churches in Mongolia. There are 50 to 100,000 believers in Mongolia today. And that's happened in the past 25 years. You know, and it's amazing. And really, when we were with them at that time, it felt like we were with the New Testament church, because they didn't have any history. You know, they didn't know. They were, you know, treating us as fathers. Like, how do we do this? What do we do here? You know, we encouraged them and refreshed them because, again, it was the first generation. And the population of Mongolia is only about 3 million. So that's actually a very high, it's a higher percentage than it would be otherwise, 50 to 100,000 believers. And so again, so but that, and through Pastor Wong, he went there, gathered 12 disciples. Where do you think he got that model from? Yeah, right? Then they, when they were discipled, they gathered 12 until again, we got to where we are today. So praise God that there are missionaries out there that are doing the work. And those are the ones that we're supporting. We probably have at least 3 or 4 ministries in Mongolia that we support. So brothers and sisters, it is true that humanity has fallen, humanity is lost. And we know that. We see it in the papers. We see it here in our own country. We see it on the news. But you know what? There is good news. There is good news, and God wants us to be a part of that good news. But the first reason for missions is because there's a cause. Humanity needs Christ. Humans need to know Jesus. They need to hear the good news. The second reason, compelling reason, and I believe each of these become more important. The second reason for missions is that there is a command to obey. Right? Jesus himself gave the command of the Great Commission 2,000 years ago. And unfortunately, we still haven't completed it until today. And that, like, breaks my heart to think in that, because we're all part of the church, right? And he gave that to his disciples to pass on to future disciples. But until today, we haven't done it. But let me read again, just for all of us here, a refreshing of the Great Commission is Matthew 28 and 18 through 20. And of course, many of us know this by heart. But if you want to read it with me, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Isn't that good news? Isn't it wonderful to know that that our Savior, our Lord, our King, that he has all authority, brothers and sisters, not only in heaven, but on earth. Go therefore. So again, here's the directive. Here's the command, the imperative. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And again, that's always comforting to me as well, right? When Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, risen from the dead, says, hey, I am with you. First of all, brothers and sisters, he's with you here in Annapolis. He's with you. He's with us in Charlottesville. He's with us always to the end of the age. And he's with our brothers and sisters around the world. And he's going to see them through this. And he's going to come back and he's going to receive us to himself. But Jesus is the one that gave the commandment, right? And even more important, even than the need of man, which is so important, is the need to obey Jesus Christ, the need to obey this command to go, to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to teach them the Lord's commandment. And again, he gave this commandment 2,000 years ago. And think about this. Think about the setting, the context there when he gave this commandment. So he's shown himself on the earth for about 40 days. He's appeared, of course, to the disciples many times, to 500 here, you know, to Paul in a vision. So he's appeared to all these people. And here he's on the Mount of Olives, and he's getting ready to ascend, right? The ascend to the Father, to be at the right hand of the Father. And so you would think, like, these last words, you really want to pay attention, right? I mean, this is like his last will and testament. This is Jesus going back to heaven with his disciples. He's been with them for 3 years, and now he's going back to heaven. So what's he going to say, right? I mean, they must have been like all ears, right? Like, wow, I want to hear what Jesus is about to say. And this is what he says. Can you imagine? Again, maybe the most important statement he made on the earth. This is what he said, though. This is so important. This is the heart of God, the heart of the Father, the heart of Jesus, is go out and make disciples and tell them about me and teach them my commands. And so, of course, we know that the gospel then spread from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, to Rome, the Mediterranean region, to Europe, and ultimately the rest of the world. And I'm not going to go through the history. There certainly is a history from, you know, when Jesus was here, when he ascended, until today, missions history. But I'll just say that today, I believe these are the most exciting days in missions, you know, that we've ever been alive. And that these are days when we can go beside these indigenous missionaries and we can partner with them in the hardest places of the earth. And we can see people come to the Lord. And we are doing that. I mean, when in the Middle East, in India, and China, and all these, Indonesia, Vietnam, where I was just at, the Lord is doing mighty works in all these places. And he invites us to come along beside him. And you know what? And this is Jesus' command. And again, some of us may say, hey, well, you know, God didn't call me to go to Vietnam, or he didn't call me to go to Africa or wherever. And that may be true. And that's okay. But he has called you to be involved some way, right? All of us can pray. Most of us can give, right? And then some of us go. And that looks different for everybody. But those are basically the three simple ways that you can get involved in mission. So I want to encourage you today, you know, to think about it, to pray about it. Say, Lord, what's my part? What's my part? Because you know what happens at the end? In Matthew 24:14, what it says? It says Jesus comes back, right? When the gospel, when it's been proclaimed throughout the world, to the end of the earth, to all nations, ethnos, people groups, then the end will come. You know what that end is? Jesus comes back to earth, and he reigns and rules forever and ever, and we reign and rule with him. Isn't that good news? I told you there was good news. Amen? So that's a good news. So the first reason is, yes, there is a cause. Humanity is lost and fallen and dying and needs us. But number two is, even more so, there's a command from our Lord Jesus to obey, and it's called the Great Commission. And number three, and this is going to be the last part here, is that there's a king who is worthy of worship, and his name is Jesus. And just like we sang about this morning, wasn't that beautiful? Thank you, worship team. That was so beautiful. And just the worship, the, you know, entering us into the presence of God was so precious. You know what? And ultimately, that's what missions is about. Again, more than the need, even more than the command, is that Jesus is worthy of praise. Jesus is worthy to be worshipped by all nations. I read in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth. He already has all authority. He is King of kings, Lord of lords, and God of gods. There are just people that don't know that. And we need to tell them. We need to tell them. Again, we're not going to force them to believe in Jesus, but we're going to tell them the good news. And we're going to say, man, you ought to do this. This will be good for you. You'll love this. It's been my experience, at least. I don't know. I hope yours. I see a lot of smiles, so I think so. I think you get what I'm saying. You know, and and just again, go back to a little bit of example of my own personal testimony. When I was 8 years old, my grandma Lily, she was, God bless her soul. I don't know how old she was. She was old. And she she shared the good news. Now I'm a grandpa, so wow, time goes by, right? Yeah, she probably was. That's right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, I hadn't thought of it like that, Pastor. So, but she shared the good news of Jesus. And even at 8, I had beat up my brother. I said bad words. I went to the Five and Dime. You younger ones don't even know what that is. And stole a pocket army knife, a Swiss army knife, and, ended up losing it. And that was poetic justice, right? But I knew I was a sinner. I knew even at 8, I knew I needed the Lord. And when I heard the good news, that you know what? There was a Savior. His name was Jesus. He was the Word of God. He left heaven. He came to earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. But he rose again from the dead. When I heard that, I said, that is good news. And he took on your sins. He took on my sins. And he said, you give me your sins, and I'll give you my righteousness. Brothers and sisters, that's the good news. And can you imagine? And I hope all of you have that same story here, that you had a day in your life where that happened to you. And if it didn't, then today is the day. Let it happen. Believe in Jesus. Follow him. Make him Lord, King, and God. But that was what happened to me. And so think about this, that there are 2 to 3 billion people that have never had the opportunity to hear that good news. Isn't that awful? They've never had the opportunity to even think about it, to make the decision, because they haven't heard it. And that's all God requires. He just says, go tell them. It's up to the Holy Spirit to do the work, to save them, to bring them to him. But you at least, you tell them. And even, and for us, that's our neighbor right here in Annapolis and Charlottesville. But it's also, let's not forget, those that are on the other side of the world. And y'all haven't, and I appreciate that. But there's a king. He's worthy to be worshipped. And when my grandma Lily and my mom Carol introduced me to King Jesus, I fell in love. And he's been my Lord, my King, my God, but he's also been my best friend. He's been my older brother. We've come through many high waters and low waters since that time. But he's always been there. He's so faithful. He's so faithful. And he'll be faithful to you as well. John Piper says it this way. He says, worship is the fuel of missions. Right? So it's not just, okay, we got to tell these people about Jesus. Okay, let's tell about Jesus. Okay, let's get it done. No, it's like, hey, do you want to meet your King, your Lord, your Savior, your Creator? And have a conversation with him and live with him forever? That's what it's about. And when we do that, again, then worship happens. John Piper says it's a fuel of missions. The reasons missions exist is because worship doesn't. You saw all the darkness on the screen, the darkness. Because they don't know Jesus. They've never heard his name. They've never been introduced. So it's not necessarily, per se, their fault that they're dark, living in darkness, but they are. And we need to go and we need to tell them. And that's what we love about supporting Native missionaries, is we can do that. And let me just talk about Jesus for a few minutes, and then I'm going to finish. Number one, Jesus was in the beginning, right? Jesus was the Word of God. John 1:1-3, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is not made. He has existed from eternity until eternity. He's in the beginning. Number two, Jesus' coming was prophesied in the Old Testament over 300 times. Can you imagine? They tried to tell us, hey, the Messiah is coming, or the Jews in particular, but us later, the Messiah is coming. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel. And of course, we know that's a name for Jesus. And we know this is written from Isaiah, who lived 700 years before Jesus. And then in Isaiah 9 and 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Think about these names. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do you need any of those things in your life? Do you need Wonderful? Do you need a Counselor? Do you need a Mighty God? Maybe we need a Father. Maybe we need a Prince of Peace. Maybe we need priests in our home. It's all in Jesus. When we have Jesus, we have all that. Number three, Jesus was born as a baby. Can you imagine the Word of God from that created the universe? Father, through the Word of God, created the universe, and here he is becoming a human being, a baby in a womb. Protect and love that little baby, and then was born in a stable. Philippians 2:7 says, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. The Creator becomes the creation. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was made a human, dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son, of course, she being Mary, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And finally, Luke 1:32-33, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. There's a king who is coming, and when he sets up his throne, that's it. It's done. It's over. So whatever we're going to do, we need to do it today for the king. And finally, four, Jesus will return as King of Kings. Isn't that wonderful to think in this world that's so divided, that's, again, so dark in so many ways, to think that the King of Kings is going to come and he's going to set up his throne. He's going to rule and reign here, and we're going to rule and reign with him. Revelation 19:11 says, and then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one but himself even knows. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name which he is called is the Word of God. Wow. He's not coming as a baby this time. He came as a baby once. But now he's going to come as a warrior king. And I want to bow before him now. I don't want to wait until that day. Let's not wait until that day to bow before King Jesus. It'll be too late. Let's bow now. Amen? And let's declare him Lord and King and God. And then Philippians, of course, 2:9-11. Again, this is one everybody knows. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, the Father, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Brothers and sisters, that day is coming. That's what we're working for at A&M, and I'm sure you too, and Pastor Brett, and all of us, right? We're working toward that day when he is going to rule and reign, and his name is going to be known, and there's not going to be any more. They're not going to be any more shadows. It's just he's the truth, the reality of the universe is going to be here. So what's the challenge for us? 1 Corinthians 16:13-14 says, I love the Word of God, and I think that's where we really draw near to God, right? And that's where we learn about God. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. If you're a woman, act like woman. Be strong. Let all that we do or all that you do be done in love. To me, that would be the final kind of exhortation, is let's be watchful. Let's stand firm in our faith. Let's act like adults. Let's be strong. Let's all that we do be done in love. And I believe that the way that practically reveals itself is through praying expectantly. When we pray, let's pray like we believe there's a God, and he's going to hear our prayers and answer. Amen. Give expectantly. And y'all have been so generous. And praise God, 14.5% to missions. I mean, that's amazing. That's unusual. I visit a lot of churches, and that's unusual. So continue to give expectantly. Go expectantly. Again, if it's here, if it's to the U.S., if it's around the world, wherever it is to go. Go and expect God to do to move. And finally, live expectantly. Live like you believe that Jesus is coming back, because he is. That's all I have. Can I pray for us? Then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. Father, in Jesus' name, God, just thank you for your goodness today, Lord, your kindness to us, Lord. We're so grateful, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Brett and for Bay Ridge Christian Church, Lord. This is such a beautiful family and congregation, Lord. Father, continue to bless them and use them for your glory. And Father, for your kingdom. And Jesus, until you come, we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks to Oliver for sharing with us. Amen. And we're going to have a chance right now that we can be engaged and involved, which is by a love offering. And the missions team is going to be coming forward and praying for Oliver and the work around the globe. So there's the QR code here on the screen. You can go to the website if you normally do it that way. And on the gift tab, there's actually a button. Everything that comes in this love offering right now is going to go to Advancing Native Missions. So it's not 14.5%. It's 100%. Of everything that comes in through this QR code goes. I want to remind us of this. There's a saying that, and it actually is kind of based a little bit on the book by John Piper, Let the Nations Be Glad, that we used to say around here a lot. There are only three types of Christians. There are radical goers, those who go out to the mission field radically, sacrificially. There are radical senders, those who give and pray radically and sacrificially, and there are the radically disobedient. That's the only three options we have. I'm a prior Marine, so we get very clear and to the point. That's the only three options. There's not radical sitting on the bench for any of us. There is a world that needs the gospel, and we all are part of that. You could be restricted to your bed at home and be a radical sender by every day crying out for God's work around the globe to go forward. The walls that are there, the darkness that is there, is going to be penetrated not by our clever words, our clever schemes, but by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. But the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is powerful to work in us. And so we want to be radical senders. So you can use the QR code here to give. And then I want to encourage you, as the missions team can come forward now, we're going to be praying, and David's going to grab the mic. But I want to encourage you, as always, this is the time to join in the prayers. We have the privilege that the King of all the universe hears our prayers. He is pleased to work and to shatter these things. We heard about Mongolia this morning. South Korea, if you don't know, who we heard about the gentleman going to Mongolia. I've shared before, for years and years and years, South Korea was a missionary graveyard. Sowing was done and nothing seemed to happen. They are the second largest mission sending country in the world now because Christians kept praying and praying and praying. God hears our prayers. So please join in as the missions team is praying for Oliver and Andrea and for the work of Advancing Native Missions and for the gospel to go forth around the world. Yes,
Lord. Father God, we just thank you for Oliver and his family that they could visit from Charlottesville for their safe travels. We just thank you for our four missions that A&M supports, for the thousands of missionaries in over 100 countries that they also support, that the gospel continues to go forward, and that hopefully in my lifetime, all people groups will eventually be reached, Lord.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your grace. And Lord, we just thank you for your heart for the unreached, Lord. Lord, we ask a blessing upon Advanced Native Missions, Lord, that their work, Lord, would touch the hearts of people and that the people will come to know you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for this group, and we thank you for your grace.
Lord, thank you for groups like A&M, for leaders like Oliver that you've called to equip, support, and send people out into the billions who have not had the opportunity to gaze upon the beauty and the majesty and the splendor of the King of the universe. Lord, how humbling it is to think about that, that you have called us out and you have shown yourself to us, but there are so many out there that have not seen, that have not heard, that have not even tasted a shred of you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would continue to equip, that you would continue to encourage, that you would continue to embolden and to strengthen the workers, because they are so few. And Lord, we pray that you would stir in the hearts of those that they are reaching good seed in the gospel and a desire to reach even further into the darkness to rescue as many as you have called. Lord, send a blessing to these people. Help them feel the love and support and prayers and so much more than just the finances, Lord, that come from all around the world to support this work. Draw more people to you through this work, we ask.
Yes, Lord.
For your glory and
yes,
for the
Lord.
Sake of your Son, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Father, we do pray for advancing Native missions and for your work around the globe. Lord, we pray right now, I pray especially for the people in the 1040 window, those who live among the unreached people groups. Lord, we pray that just as you spoke into the darkness and said, let there be light, that, Lord, you would shatter the darkness that is over them, that, Lord, you would send forth your Holy Spirit, that you would raise up a church among every people on this group, on this world, Lord God. We know, Lord, when we read in the book of Revelation, we are promised from every tribe, every language, every people group on the earth, you are going to call followers. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do this in our day and in our time. Let the gospel go forth. Father, I pray for those who are believers and are suffering, Lord God, who may be struggling with fear right now. I pray that you would draw near to them by your Holy Spirit. Like Stephen, even as he was suffering, he was given a fresh vision of you, Jesus, on the throne, and he committed himself to you. Lord, from the very beginning, it has been the blood of the martyrs that has been the seed of the church. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage and strengthen them. And Lord, that their very willingness to suffer and sacrifice would propel the gospel forward into places it has not gone. Amen. Lord, send forth your word. Lord, hear our prayer for those who do not know you, Lord. We cry out that they would have their eyes and ears open to the gospel, that many, many would come to you. Jesus, we want to see you worshiped from the rising of the sun to its going down, Lord. We want more and more to cry out to you for salvation, to give you the praise that you are due. Lord, hear our cry. Lord, answer our prayer. Lord, glorify yourself as your word goes forth, as more and more find salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask this in his name for your glory and for the good of the people whom you have made. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all. We are going to now be coming to the Lord's table. And we do this both because we come to the Lord's table each week, but also Oliver referenced there, a saying by John Piper, which is that missions exist because worship doesn't. And worship is fuel for missions. Like everything else, us trying to be radical goers or radical senders is a work of grace in our hearts. And so we're going to come to the Lord's table. And I also want it to be a reminder to us that this is another reference to the fact that there's one church across the ages. We started this morning by singing that song that's based upon the Nicene Creed from 325. from 325, not 313. But that We've been saying that. That's the faith that has marched forward across the ages. And it is true. Many of the people in those videos, I love seeing folks that look so different than us, such a different culture, but you could see the joy on their faces. They have been called into the fellowship of God's Son. At one time, we were the farthest corners of the earth. At one time, we were the unreached people group. And so we are part of God's global work, God's global church. And so as we come here to the table today, I want us to remember we are part of that one body of Christ that God has been drawing to himself across ages, across cultures, from every group upon the earth. And we get to celebrate that together. So I begin by reading from 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17 to remind us of this table. This table is here for all who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. That's how Paul begins Corinthians. For is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we partake of the one loaf. If you are here and you believe in the gospel, which Oliver was briefly running over, that Christ is our only hope of salvation, then you are invited to this table to participate with us because it is the Lord's table as he gathers his people together. If you're not a believer, please see me right afterwards. I would love to talk with you about the good news of Jesus Christ. For what I received from the Lord, I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out so that your sins may be forgiven. Drink from this, all of you, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The ushers are going to come forward. They're going to be passing out the elements. And as they do, I want us to focus on that fact of what God has done in bringing us into the kingdom, to give thanks to him and to thank him that he is doing this with more and more people around the globe. And then we will partake together in just a couple moments. As we prepare to take together, these prayers that I'm going to be praying are actually from the Didache, which is the oldest communion service we have outside of the pages of the New Testament. And so I've modified them just a little bit in our day, but this is basically what Christians were praying almost 2,000 years ago as they came to the Lord's table. And I encourage us to, again, give thanks to God. We are part of one people. He is working and gathering. We give thanks to you, our Father, for the life and knowledge that you have made known to us through Jesus, your servant. To you be the glory forever. Just as this broken bread was scattered upon the mountains and then was gathered together to become one, so may your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory and the power through Jesus Christ forever. Brothers and sisters, receive and eat the bread of life. And we give you thanks, our Father, for the holy vine of David, your servant, which you have made known to us through Jesus, your servant. To you be the glory forever. Just as grapes grew on many vines, but were harvested together to fill this cup, so may your church be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory and the power through Jesus Christ forever. Brothers and sisters, receive and drink the cup of life. We give you thanks, Holy Father, for your holy name, which you have caused to dwell in our hearts, and for the knowledge and faith and immortality that you've made known to us through Jesus, your servant. To you be the glory forever. You, Almighty Master, created all things for your name's sake, and gave food and drink to humans to enjoy so that they might give you thanks. But to us, you have graciously given spiritual food and drink and eternal life through your servant. We thank you, Lord, that this gospel of the kingdom continues to spread. Though the kingdoms of this world oppose it and persecute your people, you are drawing men and women from every nation and language upon this earth. We give you thanks that your kingdom and truth will endure through all ages, for you are mighty, O Lord. To you be the glory forever. Remember your church, Lord, to deliver it from all evil, to make it perfect in your love, and from the four winds gather the church that has been sanctified into your kingdom, which you have prepared for it, for yours is the power and the glory forever. May grace come, and may this world pass away. Hosanna to the God of David. All praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Maranatha, O Lord, come. And God's people say, amen. Amen. Now I'm going to conclude with a blessing and a benediction out of Psalm 67. And I encourage you to receive this blessing of God and note what the blessing is for. I've taught on this before. It's one of my favorite psalms. The psalmist takes the blessing given to Abraham and the blessing that is spoken through Aaron upon the people and merges them together, but reminds us of the purpose. So receive the blessing of your God. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that his ways would be known on earth, his saving power among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth will yield its increase, and God our God shall bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fill him. Brothers and sisters, through the gospel, through Jesus Christ, you are blessed. So go forth and be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more teachings and resources, or to learn more about the mission's work that Bay Ridge supports, please go to www.brcc.church.